And parents, if you want them back, you can have them back at the end of the church. Okay. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:40 is a small verse. It's a very short verse, nine words. And I have mentioned that over and over and over the last 5 years that I've been here, and you will hear it. But we're going to start a series based on that little nine-word verse, because it doesn't take a lot of words to for God to communicate with us and for us to respond to God's communication. That little nine-word verse says this. It says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Now, if I were to give you another translation of that, one that would be common English, it would be, "Let everything be done appropriately," that's what that word decently means, appropriately, and when it says in order, that can be translated on time. So let everything be done appropriately and on time. Now, that doesn't seem like much, and that may not seem like a very powerful verse, but in the next few weeks, you're going to find out just how important and how powerful that little verse is. Because that little verse is supposed to be the motivation for every Christian, for everything they do. For everything they do. Doesn't matter what it is. And we're going to look at that this morning, that little verse from one particular aspect. And some of you are visitors, and so you don't know me like some of our folks know me, but I never preach at anybody, okay? I never preach at anybody. So if suddenly you become under conviction about something coming out of this little verse or something that the Lord has me say this morning, that may be the Holy Spirit touching your heart. And hopefully this morning He is going to touch your heart. Hopefully this morning He's going to have His way in your life, because that's why we gather here. So God uses the apostles to write. He used them to write the Bible, but they were inspired by God's Holy Spirit, and every word they wrote was exactly what God wanted them to write. And so what we are looking at this morning in that little nine-word verse is God speaking to you and me. And it comes in the form of a command. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from God to His people. And so we want to look at it that way. Some of the writing of the apostles as they wrote the Bible, some of it was in the form of information, history. Some of it was in the form of promises that God was making to us. And some of it was in the form of commands, and this is one of those commands. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to use that little nine-word verse to look at different aspects of living a Christian life. Because that's what we are all here to do. I don't think any of you came, if you came here to play bingo this morning, I'm sorry, but the bingo was last night. No, we don't play bingo around here. We're here to worship God. We're here to learn from Him how we can please Him better. And if you miss out on Sunday school, you're missing out on a chance to learn more about God and to hear more about God. And Tim's doing a fantastic job with our Sunday school. We're just finishing up one lesson. It's lasted for several months. We'll be beginning a new one in about 3 weeks, and we would invite you to make an effort to get here by 9:30. We have coffee and donuts, and just for those who don't wake up before then, and they can, you know, a cup of coffee will wake you up, and we can bring it to the Sunday school room with you and enjoy that while we're studying. But that is at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And then we would invite you to come back at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, because right now we're studying the book of Revelation. But we are studying God's Word, because it is in God's Word that we find God's direction for us. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in the place where God wants us to be. So we'll be, over the next few weeks, using this little 9-word verse to jump off on different parts, different aspects of living for the Lord. In Matthew 3:16, Jesus, when he was baptized, when it tells us, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And so, folks, we are wanting to live under the power of the Holy Spirit. He is here. He's among us. If you know Jesus, he is in you. He is living in your soul. And he brings with him some wonderful things. And we just want you to understand what's there and how he wants to use these things. So, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling your heart if you know Jesus this morning. You are a new creature in Christ. And sometimes it's a little difficult to adjust to that, because you have two things. You have a sinful nature. I have a sinful nature. We all do. None of us are sin-free. But the Holy Spirit can help us to be less sinful. He can help us to be more of what God wants us to be. And that's one of the things we've been studying for these last several months, is the gifts of the Spirit. And if you've missed that study, we do have a few extra books, and if you want to get involved in it. But don't miss Sunday school, because that is where a lot of meat is put out. I'm a carnivore. I like meat. And I like meat. You can give me a steak. You can give me a lobster tail. I like meat. But we also have some vegetables on the side. And so that comes from God's Word. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God's Word. So now, it may seem like a little thing that God would give this command to all of his children. When I was in school, if a student was late getting to class, he got demerits. And if you accumulated enough demerits, then you had to meet with a council of some sort, and they would reprimand you, or they would do something to correct your activity, and you would learn. So one of the aspects we're going to look at about this little verse, let everything be done decently and in order, this morning is going to involve time. Time. We're all given just so much time by God to live out our lives. And each one of us have a different amount. And your time is not mine. My time is not yours. God has given you the gift of time. For some, they have a lot of it. For some, just a very short amount, a very small amount. But that is a gift from God, and it's called time. So if we were late for school, we got demerits. If, for example, you are attending a class and the class is going to wait for you to start before it starts, just like Sunday school. Sometimes we are unable to start Sunday school right on time because not everybody's there, or things are going on that Let's say there were 30 people in the class, and you were 1 minute late, and the class was waiting for you. How much time did you just waste? 30 minutes. Yeah. So see, but it wasn't your time to waste. It was other people's time. And because we all just have so much time, we want to make sure that I find the older I get, the more effectively I want to use my time. Because I don't have as much of it as I thought I did. Okay? And you're probably finding out that, once you retire, people look forward to, you young people, people look forward to retirement saying, oh, I can sit back and I can relax and I can do whatever I want to do. Folks, you will be busier after you retire than you have ever been in your life. And you will find you don't have the time to do the things that you wanted to do. So one of the things that we want to be careful about, it says, let everything be done decently, appropriately, and on time. So, is it appropriate to be late? Is it appropriate to be late? I don't think so. And if we're going to be like Jesus, we have to ask ourselves, was he ever late? Was Jesus ever late? And the answer is no, he never was late. That's why this little verse is so important. I can't find a single example in the Word of God where Jesus was late and anybody was waiting on him. Now I understand there are times when we are held up from being someplace on time. Traffic conditions, an accident, somebody does something stupid. You got a flat tire when you go out and you got to change a tire, the car won't start, or I understand there are things that cause us to be late, but I want to ask you a question. Think about this. You have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, and that Holy Spirit wants to direct you as to what he wants you to do and when he wants you to do it, because time is important of God. Did the Holy Spirit tell you that you should have started earlier? And you ignored him. And my wife and I have done that. Oh, I've got, what time do you want to leave? We have a lot. As you get older, one of the other things you get you get familiar with a lot of doctors. So you have doctor's appointments in there. They give you a certain time to come and wait, okay? That's basically what it amounts to. There are not many doctors that see you when they say they're going to. But we have doctor appointments, and she always asks me, when should we leave? When do we need to leave? And if it's downtown, 45 minutes. But we have been there have been times when we have gotten on I-26, and it was a parking lot. And we don't get there on time. So did the Holy Spirit say that we should have left earlier? And, he knows right now what's going to happen in your life. He knows right now where you are going to be at any particular time in your life. He knows the future because he's God. He's as much God as our Father is God. He's as much God as Jesus Christ is God. And he is in your heart to direct you and to help you keep this command, be on time. One of the things I'd like to ask of our church family is that we come to the auditorium a couple of minutes early before the service starts so that we can get in our places and so that we can bow our heads and our hearts to the Lord and ask him to help us to accomplish what he wants to accomplish in that hour. In other words, to get our hearts attuned to worshiping God beforehand. I know we all like to fellowship, and I'm excited about the fellowship here at the church at Coastal Shores Baptist Church, but we need to do that after the service, not between Sunday school and the service, because we need to, people need to get around and get ready for the service, so we're not late starting, and so that your heart is ready to worship with that first song, with that first hymn, as we sing that first word, you are worshiping God. And so I'm going to ask you to, if you will, come a couple minutes early to the sanctuary, get a seat, spend some time talking to the Lord. It won't hurt. It won't hurt. And you will find that it may improve your worship experience. Now, is it decent to disrupt any part of a worship service for our Lord? Is it decent to interrupt a worship service for our Lord? Of course not. And I'm sure that none of you would intentionally do anything like that, but we do need to remember the command to do all things decently and on time. So let's make an effort to start our services a couple minutes early, not actively, but passively in our own hearts as we talk to the Lord. Timing is of God, and he tells us that there is a time to rejoice and there is a time to mourn. There's a time to discuss business after the service, not before. I want to share a couple of things with you folks for your benefit as well as for my own. As we come to church in the morning, as you come to church in the morning or in the evening, before the service is not a time to approach me or one of the deacons or anyone else with problems. It's not, because you see, we have been preparing our heart to share the worship experience with you. I'm thinking about the message that I'm going to be sharing with you. And if somebody comes to me and tells me, you know, oh, we've got this problem or that problem before the service, then I have to break my concentration on what I want to share with you. But after the service, I'll take all the time I need to do whatever I need to do for you. And so will anybody else. So before the service, don't come with problems. I know it might be an emergency for you. For some people, a flat tire is an emergency. For some people, they can fix that on Monday. What I'm asking is, if you do have a problem and it's important to you, and it's important to me, it's important to all of us, because we are to mourn with our brothers and sisters when they mourn, we are to rejoice when they rejoice, but if you have a problem, don't bring it to us before the service. Wait till after the service. Wait till after, not between Sunday school and the service, but wait till everything is done that morning. And then bring that problem, and we can resolve it at that point, or we can try to. And I just share that with you, because timing is everything, especially in God's business. God prepares our hearts for what is ahead. And what is ahead on Sunday morning is Sunday school and the service. And then on Sunday night is another service. So we want to help you in any way we can, but let's do it after the service, okay? So let's get back to our verse this morning. What we're talking about this morning is that we do all things appropriately and at the proper time. And I want you to understand, I'm not trying to be rude or disinterested to problems that you might have in your life, but before the service is not the time to talk about them. Now, we're thinking about what's being done at the proper time. And there's a proper time for everything. Words have meanings. Emergency has a meaning. But go to an emergency room. You want to see what the word emergency means? Go to an emergency room. If you come in with a stomach ache and somebody comes in thinking they're having a stroke, you're going to sit there. because they have priorities they establish. If somebody comes in with a heart attack, somebody who's severed a finger will sit there, because different types of emergencies require different types of responses and different types of priorities. And we have priorities in life too. And God is the one who establishes our priorities. There are times that all of us have to make decisions about when we're going to do things. And we have to realize that other people are not as involved in our lives as we are. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, if you want to endear yourself to someone, say something nice about their dog or their kids, okay? And that will endear you to them. They'll think, oh, okay, they've got good taste, all right? But not everything in all of our lives is as important to everyone else as it is to us. Don't be offended by someone if their mind is on what's going on in their life and not so much what's going on in your life. God has given us a great opportunity as brothers and sisters in Christ. First of all, we are to love one another. And by that, I'm not talking about something that's immoral. I'm talking about the kind of love that God has for us. The Bible word is agape, self-sacrificing love. We are to love each other like that. I'm to love you more than I love me. And if we all do that, if we can all love each other like that, then whatever's going on in your life is going to become important. We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. People in a grocery store, when you get up to the checkout, how you doing? You know, they ask you, did you find everything okay? And you know, or you run into somebody in the store and say, well, how you doing? Fine. Ask them, how are you doing? Because they have a life too. And when you do that, then you show a love for them. You show them that you're interested in them. And that's part of what we need to do as Christians. We need to become more interested in people. So if someone does not hear you right, maybe you tell somebody something has happened to you and during the week, and it was just awful. You thought it was the worst thing in the world, but it happened, and you're telling somebody, and they, well, that's nice, and I turn around and walk away. Ever have that happen? You ever done that? I have. I was in another church as their pastor. We had a lady that I had led to the Lord. She was a sweet lady. And she called me one day. And she said, Frank was in the emergency room. And Frank was one of our members. And I said, okay, what's wrong? And she said, well, he fell down the steps at the post office and got pretty banged up. And I said, okay, well, thank you for letting me know. And she said, well, I'm in the emergency room too. And I didn't hear the rest of what she said. I was thinking of Frank falling down the steps. Well, she said something to me, and I said, well, thank you for letting me know that, Nancy. That's nice. And I hung up. A little while later, somebody called me and said, you know, Nancy is in the emergency room with a broken leg. That's nice. I had to grovel a bit, but she forgave me. And sometimes we don't listen to each other because we have things on our own minds. We have things in our own hearts, and it has to do with time and timing. What's going on in your life is in God's hands. What's going on in your life is God's timing for you. And other people may not be as interested in it as you are. So, what do we do in that case? We do what this lady did. When I told her it was nice, she had a broken leg. She forgave me. And we have to do that for each other. We need to be quick to forgive. We need to be almost instantaneous in our forgiveness when someone offends us or says something that they didn't really hear what we were saying. And they misunderstand. So we need to be quick to forgive. One of the other factors that I'd like for us to think about this morning is as we're thinking about this thing of time, there are times when I tend to procrastinate. Now, I know none of you ever do that, and none of you would ever be guilty of that. But there are times when I tend to procrastinate. Either I don't want to do it, I don't like the aspect of doing it, or I have something I want to do better or more. And so sometimes I procrastinate. And that's not what God tells us in that little verse. Let everything be done appropriately and on time. And if I procrastinate, it's not going to be done on time. So we have to think about this. Right? This is an aspect of that little verse. Sometimes you ask someone to do something for you or to take responsibility for some special event or project, and they respond, "I'll have to pray about that." Has anybody ever replied to you that? "I'll have to pray about that." You know what that is? That's a cop-out. It means I don't want to do it. I want time to think about this. Years ago, I used to do that. I don't do it anymore. Because if I'm going to have to pray about it, I better be prayed up right then. I better be prayed up right then. What we're really saying is I want to procrastinate. I want to wait a little while. I'm not ready to do this. Procrastination is a real problem for the Christian. It really is. It's a problem that we probably all have. Maybe you don't. If you don't, tell me your secret. Because procrastination takes away our blessings. God is ready to bless us if we will do something for Him. And he's giving us an opportunity. He's opening it up in front of us, and we're saying, "Well, not right now, God. I got something." If you have a favorite program that you like to watch on television, don't you build your life around that? Or don't you build that day around that? And so that you can see that. What if we made God the main thing we're thinking about? What if we made God's will for us the thing that we're trying to achieve that day? And we build our life around that appropriately and on time. I have people tell me, "Well, I didn't have time to do that." And I tell myself that sometimes. I'll say, "Well, you know, go home at night," and Connie will ask me, "Well, did you get everything done you needed to do?" "No, I ran out of time." Well, I didn't really run out of time. I sort of misused some of the time. And so this little 9-word verse, "Let everything be done decently and in order, appropriately and on time," is a very, very important command. Because it's going to apply to every aspect of your life. Timing is so important. Timing to God is important. If you come to an intersection and you're a pedestrian and that light turns red, okay, do you want to take the time to wait for that light to turn green, or do you want to cross through that moving traffic? Okay? Some people try it. Not all of them make it. But timing is so important. God regulates your time. He gives you the time you need to do what He wants you to do. And so procrastination is the brother or sister of disobedience. Think about that. Procrastination is the brother or sister of disobedience. Many of us have raised children. Children, it's time to go to bed. Oh, I gotta go to the bathroom. I'm hungry. The game's not over. My TV program's still on. Children, it's time to go to bed. Are they being obedient? No. God does the same thing with us. He says, okay, do this. And what we tell them? Well, I'm busy with this right now. I haven't got time for that. And if you and I, would submit our life every morning to God and let Him lay it out before us, what a fantastic day it could be. I know many of you don't understand this and don't experience this, but as I have more birthdays, I forget things, more things. And so I have to make a list sometimes as to what I want to do with my day. And so I do make a list, and I lay it on my desk, and then I get busy. And that night I look at that list and nothing's checked off. It can be that way with our service to God. God can give us a list of things He wants us to do that day, and we get busy with our stuff and not His stuff. And folks, the whole idea of this is for you and I to serve Him. Now, He blesses us. He provides for us. He watches over us. He takes care of us. But we're supposed to be serving Him. So the next time that someone asks you to do something and you say, I don't have time right now, I have to do this or whatever, are not we living in the time that the Lord has given us? Can't He give us more time if we use some of our time for Him? You ever think about that? If you're serving the Lord and you have something you want to do too, can't He give you the time to do that if you put Him first? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order, appropriately and on time. But the problem that many people have is that they get their priorities wrong. Basically, they don't know what time it really is. They don't know that it's God's time. And in God's time, we need to do what God wants us to do. Now, we've been looking at a very short verse. Just 9 words in the original language. We know we're supposed to obey Scripture. Would you consider obeying this one verse every day for the next week? That it might become a habit that you do everything, all things, decently and in order. I know that we all have certain responsibilities, things that we have to do, things that we have to fulfill. But what if we use some of that time to serve God in the way He wants us to serve Him? What if we give Him a little bit of this life that He has given us? in the middle of the service, or at the beginning, we took up an offering. You were giving back to God something he had already given to you. Why don't you try that with your time and see what he will do with you in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for even the little verses that are such big impacts on our life. Father, we would ask that as we come to this next week, as we live through this next week, that we will try and do all things decently and on time. And Father, we will realize that other people's time is not ours to waste or to spend. But Father, that we will not keep them waiting. That we will get there when you want us there or before. That your will might be done in each of our lives. And Father, that we might accomplish the things you want us to accomplish. Truly, Father, may everything in our lives be done decently and in order. And Father, we will praise you for the way that you use us and bless us, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.